6.5% was it? Is that what the current odds are of the Stanley Cup?
Well, and if you look at the round by round progression, the Stanley Cup favorite is the Vancouver Canucks.
Like, what a time to be alive!
Talking you through every goalie controversy, scoring slump, and draft lottery bust, this is the C4 Podcast on CanucksHockeyBlog.com. Here they are, the best starting lineup we could afford under the salary cap. Chris, Matt, Anna, and Adam.
Welcome to another episode of the C4 Canucks Hockey Podcast, brought to you by the Full Press Coverage Network and CanucksHockeyBlog.com. I am Chris at Lightforce, joined virtually by the currently enjoying the vino, Anna Forsythe at A4Sight03. Welcome, Anna.
Thanks, Chris. Yeah, I have myself a little glass of white wine. I had to take it out to Kirk. So I figured I may as well pour, like,
a little for the dish, a little for the Anna.
Exactly.
Got it.
That's kind of how it came about.
Yeah. I've never gotten into wine.
Oh, neither. My brother runs a wine business, and now I know nothing about wine.
But you're enjoying it. Like, for me, it's like, man, this grape juice tastes wrong.
Okay.
Like,
I do like wine. I just pretty clueless about it.
Well, I'm both. Now, one of the things that I have heard about wine is that it depends on sort of a combination of your palate. But as you get older, your palate changes. And I, like most young adults or maybe a little bit younger, when I started to, you know, explore the world of booze, found that wine was not for me. Like, why drink wine when, you know, a rum and Coke goes down nice and smooth? And
yeah, see, I mean, like, I grew up in Europe. It's true, it was the UK, so it's different. But, like, I was drinking wine and beer with, like, meals with my parents, like, 14. Oh, here, so man,
just Puritan, you know.
Yeah.
No, I would
not. BC especially.
Not to suggest, like, once I was sort of into my teens, and when I'd say teens, like 13, if someone were to jokingly offer, hey, my parents were like, okay, whatever. You know, he's here, safe environment. And I said no, because I, for whatever reason, felt it was not appropriate for me. But I think that for me, it was more the rule, like, I'm not allowed to drink because I'm underage.
What a goody two-shoes you were.
Well, if you talk to some of the people that knew me when I was growing up, the stories they would tell you about how, oh yeah, like, there'd be no traffic on the street, we'd all cut across it, but there's Chris walking down the sidewalk to the crosswalk or like the corner.
That's so funny.
Even now, like, you know, and it's not as maybe apparent, but like language, I mean, I don't swear too frequently. And when I do, one of two things is occurring. Booze and a lot of it, or two, I am so tired, and then like my guard is a little bit down.
It's funny. I mean, I swear a lot in my everyday life, but I I think if you only knew me from speaking on the podcast, you might not know that. But I think maybe all our listeners maybe got a shock when they came into Discord. And
there's Anna dropping the colorful language.
Yeah, that's me. Cussing like a sailor.
Yeah, that's a. I mean, why is it that sailors are the ones that are cussing? Like, is it just because the sailors that people interacted with back in the day came from all sorts of different places? And it's like, oh, what are the words you pick up out of a foreign language?
Well,
it's always very colorful words.
Yeah, and it's also, I would say, like, men only in the company of men for like 90% of the time. So maybe a bit rough around the edges, and then they come into port and people go, oh, these guys are interesting.
They lose their gentlemanly couth.
Yes, exactly. Mm.
Anyhow, we are a Canucks podcast, allegedly.
All right.
And it probably would make sense that we talk about them, because there's only really 1 week to go before that is all she wrote. And, you know, well, I kind of sort of thought it was all she was could be wrote last week.
Yeah. I mean, sure, like, it's just a little bit playing it all out.
Yeah, well, this is what the Vancouver Canucks are doing. It is the Cheech Farewell Tour, which I think is appropriate. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the Kings have celebrated them, and now sort of the expectation is that they'll have to amp it up in the next two visits. But I like how on the broadcast tonight they were Shorty referenced that, and she's just like, yeah, maybe I got, you know, go to San Jose and they'll, you know, give me tickets to Disneyland. And then he's like, and then, you know, University of Arizona will just give me an honorary degree.
Yeah, I know. I like was had my like head in the kitchen at that point, and I just like went back and I was like, did he just say that? Yeah.
Yep, that's totally what Cheech said. But no, the Vancouver Canucks are sort of, you know, wrapping things up. The week that was a week that went kind of like we had sort of thought it would. And then the week that we'll be right now, it is still unclear as to how tonight's game will end up. We're recording at the start of the first intermission, but we'll record through the second period. And then there's obviously a game tomorrow or today, depending on your perspective, or maybe it was yesterday, a little listening on Wednesday. And then the last game of the season in Mullett Arena down there in the state of Arizona. You know, thankfully for the Vancouver Canucks, that's not all that we get to talk about, because former Vancouver Canucks are also lighting things up and, you know, causing a slight stir in the smealosphere. So all that and more, let's get into Rewind. So now that the Seattle Kraken have figured out how you can beat Vancouver, it seems that the Kraken do it pretty easily.
Yeah. I mean, that game was like, it was just the epitome of end of season, like, can't be bothered. Like, the Canucks looked checked out. It wasn't, like, fun to watch.
Well, I would say they didn't look checked out in the first period. They seemed to forget that there were two more to go. So if you skip that game and you're like, Kraken won 5-2. The Canucks came out and did what they have sort of been doing. They make things interesting. They, you know, give the tank a scare. Petey comes out early, gets a goal. Nice one to boot. Anthony Beauvillier doing what he's been doing, getting a goal. Though, in the words of Rick Tocchet, not liking what you're seeing from him, which is interesting, because if you're not liking what you're seeing from Beauvillier scoring goals, and I get, like, there's a, you know, 60-minute game and all that jazz. Got some concerns, but Canucks are up 2-1 going into the first intermission. And if you were to go and say, hey, you know, I'm optimistic, we're seeing some opportunity here, this is good. But Kuzmenko seems to have lost his game. He looked absolutely lost after the early apple. You know, we saw the Kraken take over. I mean, you got what's Brandon Tanev's nickname? Is it Gizmo?
Turbo.
That's what I was trying to think. Like, what was it? So, not Gizmo.
I know. It's so funny to me.
Gosh, Brandon Tanev, you know,
it's a cute name.
His NHL picture is like next level stuff. I mean,
I know. I love that it's like now a thing he does. Just like, he just sees a ghost every time.
You know, I don't recall Chris Tanev ever having this sort of level of like personality.
No, I don't think he's as weird as his brother.
Like Brandon seemed to get all of that. Huh?
Yeah. I mean, they're both a bit like offbeat. I think Chris Tanev's just the quieter version of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you've got Chris Tanev, who is less than Turbo. What's he, sturdy?
Oh, yeah.
And then you have Turbo.
Stay-at-home, dependable Chris Tanev.
Yeah, sturdy and Turbo.
Yeah.
But, you know, the Kraken, they had their way with the Vancouver Canucks in the second period. And by then, it was just, it was done. Canucks were looking ahead at the schedule. And Matty Beniers went and got himself a goal to really ensure that he is well within and beyond the consideration for Rookie of the Year. Yeah, and former
Vancouver Canucks. So good.
You know, Jared McCann getting himself another point. McCann, who is, I don't want to say like refound his game, because he had started to really grow into the role that he was going to play in Florida. Then he got traded to Pittsburgh, started to really evolve there, got traded to Toronto, and then, I mean, that was for the sake of Seattle getting him. But this is a player who, when you look back in retrospect, I don't think he would have panned out in Vancouver, but it would have been a nice type of player to have here.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's just like, I'm not saying Canucks definitely should have kept him. He would have been elite. Like, it's taken a while, right? For him to find his game. But I do think, looking back, it does seem like Canucks gave up rather easily on a player his caliber.
This story goes that when Florida and Vancouver were chatting over the defenseman that the Vancouver Canucks were really interested in obtaining, the Florida front office had said, okay, I mean, I guess that sounds reasonable. And Vancouver is like, okay, great. So what more would you want? And so Florida was of the belief they had a deal in principle without saying it. Vancouver interpreted it, like, oh, we need to, you know, grease that just a little bit more. And when Florida became aware that Vancouver was willing to pay even more, they're like, yeah, well, take McCann off of your hands. Vancouver's like, okay.
Just looking back on those days.
Again, this is all conjecture, all rumor, but I have heard it from far too many people close enough that, and not just close enough in the sense of Vancouver, close enough into the sense of Florida. I mean, I grew up in the era that the computer boys were blogging left, right, and center, the real talented folks that teams have acquired over the time. It's a sad state of affairs when your front office is getting taken to the cleaners.
I mean, it really was. Yeah, but like, overall, like, happy for Jared McCann. He's doing really well in Seattle.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was just a bit of a lame game. I liked.
What are you talking about? It was a good rivalry game.
Yeah. Anyone who caught my post game with friend of the show, Sam?
Yeah, I saw you were on the Steve Dangle Podcast Network post game. Game over.
Yes. Exactly. Game over. Yeah, we talked a lot about the rivalry or lack thereof. Like, yeah, it's partly because Canucks were a lot better than Seattle last year. Seattle are a lot better than Vancouver this year. It's hard to create a rivalry like that. Like, you need at least some form of or some moment of level pegging. But yeah, it does seem like the NHL aren't even trying to help, like, solicit that, even though they talked about it when they first launched. But then it's like, give them a weekend game.
Well, they did have a weekend game. A weekend game.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm a firm believer that a rivalry needs to build up through sort of an organic means. Like, you look at the rivals that we've seen out of Vancouver have, often established through repeated playoff appearances or real ornery games in a regular season. Not like, hey, you're close, we don't like you.
I mean, that's literally how Arsenal and Spurs are rivals. Spurs were in North London.
The
and
culture is different over in the old country.
Yeah, like, it's true. That is, but like, I just think it's, you can't create something out of nothing. Like, there was that weird Minnesota-Vancouver rivalry for years.
That was more
Vancouver
of a...
didn't really participate in.
Yeah, like, Minnesota's like, oh, those damn Canucks. And we're like, who?
Yeah.
And that's not a knock at Minnesota. It's just how the different markets viewed each other. A rivalry needs two players or two parties to dance. And unfortunately, only one party was interested.
Yeah. I think, yeah, you're right. We'll have to wait and see. I think it's correct that the organic means will have to come, some kind of fight or injury or playoff series or something. But yeah, given how much the NHL wants to develop markets, like, you think they try a bit.
Yeah. Anyway, Vancouver loses to Seattle and then gets to take on the Chicago Blackhawks. And there ain't nothing that fixes you up right but the Chicago Blackhawks rolling into town, because the Vancouver Canucks looked so dominant in their 3-0 win. Goals scored in each of the three periods. One by Kuzmenko, who refound his game again, Chicago. Another goal by Krasov, and then JT Miller, putting the icing on the cake late in the third period. But what was interesting about this game is Hirose, I think, yeah. Gets himself a couple of apples, gets, inserted in the lineup and has an immediate impact. And you have Quinn Hughes deciding that I'm a leader and by God, I'm going to go and throw down. Not to say, and this is the podcast that's a firm believer that Quinn's a leader. It's just like the kid's like, okay, this is my job now. And he's embracing it. I don't know what more to say other than it was nice to see that, Thatcher Demko got himself his first shutout of the season in game, 77?
77. I mean, also,
in fairness, he was hurt for a good portion, but.
Yeah, but his last shutout was in December of 2021.
Wow, that's a long time ago.
Yeah, Bruce's first game. Is that right?
I don't know if it was Bruce's first game. I would trust you on that. I had not researched this.
Yes.
Anna could be leading me astray right now, and I'd be like, no problem. I trust in Anna.
I was there at Bruce's first game, but I also had some adult beverages. So
no.
Who knows? But I was also at the Chicago game, and I remember it all. Like, Kito Hirose, it's just like, should we be impressed with how well this young kid's doing or depressed because of all the players that have come in that have played as good and mostly better than OEL? Like, AHL players, NCAA players are better than your $7 million defenseman.
You know, I've continued to read that the belief is that OEL does not get bought out at the end of the season, which, when you look at the math, yes, it helps the Canucks, but you're just extending the amount of time as to which the money is coming out of ownership's pocket, and it seems ownership isn't really as keen to continue to pay for people just to go away, players and or coaches.
Yeah.
So I don't know how you solve that problem, but you do raise a fair point, is that you're seeing, production and effort that at best, or at worst, actually, let me rephrase it, at worst is OEL equivalent, but at best is OEL equivalent for so much less.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, very pleased, very impressed with what we have and Kito Hirose and how well he's adapted to NHL game. Even Colmutt Ward, who's
going ahead of the weekend, guess who gets his first goal in his first game? Beautiful goal. I hope they got that on video and he has like one of those video frames replaying his goal. Because as you said, they draw it up pretty on the score sheet.
Yeah. Good news, they were filming it for TV, so they should have it on video somewhere. But Colmutt Ward was really not touted in the same way that Hirose was. Some people were quite shocked when he came up to Vancouver straight away, but even him, he's fine. He's he's not amazing, but he's pretty good for the price tag.
Well, it's you get the job done and you're affordable. This is the thing that we have harped on forever now on this show. It is good to have players like that paid like that. You can start to build your team a whole lot more effectively when you've got Jags that are Jag money, or let's say McWard or Hirose or McDonough or whomever, anyone else comes in and is even better than that at this much lower price tag. Then you start more effectively using the cheap years to bridge yourself into the potential for expensive years, and you're smart in how you manage those assets. Maybe there are some deals to be had, but
smart management of assets and smart draft picks, whatever. Like, Chicago, they're embarrassing themselves on the ice this season, maybe, but, like, whatever. They've stockpiled draft picks. They're going to be fine.
Well, no. I mean, like, their plan is to embarrass themselves and rebuild. Detroit is an example of an organization. So, yeah, we're going to embarrass ourselves, but we're gonna rebuild. Like, we're going to go into this particular direction. I mean, Detroit is a scary team when their scouting department is hot.
Detroit's a scary place. So.
Well, yes, but that's, yeah, not, like, that, that's Chicago, not what I was going for there, Anna.
Chicago is plenty embarrassing off the ice, so I don't envy for a minute Chicago Blackhawks fans.
Sorry, I withdrew. I was looking at it from a pure.
No. I totally. I'm not. I know that's what you're saying.
Okay.
I just wanted to build and just say, like, there's lots of franchises that I, you know, take the approach of, but yeah, I can't praise Chicago too highly because they're actually, like, a shameful organization.
Okay,
they
but
continue to be that.
If we could take that one glimmer of one, you know, piece, yeah, and put exactly it in Vancouver, like, let's be selective, because, you know, for every one of those that we were to raise, someone will say, well, what's going on down in Arizona? And let's be honest, Arizona does the exact same thing, but their purpose is not to win. Their purpose is to somehow magically get themselves to the floor of a league cap and ensure that anyone who needs a retirement gig has a place to go. But looking at the Calgary game, this is a game of Vancouver wanting to make life hard for the Flames and doing a very good job at it for a good portion of the game. A team like the Calgary Flames suddenly realizing that if they have any hope, losing to the Canucks is not going to be on the cards, and rallies themselves in the third period, getting, but, you know, an early and an earlier goal to get themselves into overtime. And as I had to explain to my wife, the reason the NHL has given Nazem Kadri that power play marker is important because stats matter when your contract has touch language. She found it funny that, like, why would they care about a second and a power play goal? The result stays the same. Like, contract language. Mm-hmm. And Vancouver, while they, yes, gave a loser point to Calgary, got themselves a goal off of Kuzmenko on the shootout. And that was that. And the goaltender stopped everything else. But what does that mean for Vancouver? Not really good things, but at least... I think it was the Senators have now won to the...
Senators now won. Canucks are going to finish in the bottom 11.
Yeah, so there is a chance for Bedard.
Technically, there's still a chance.
That's right.
Yeah. Like, I know the sort of same debate went round again after the Calgary game about how exciting overtime was. So why are we capping it at 5 minutes? Do you believe that you get overtimes like that are 10 minutes long?
I think you could. I don't, like, I get the argument that if you extend the clock, teams may not play as fast and loose, but by design, 3-on-3 hockey creates the fast and loose moments. And if you extend the clock, it's going to get to that point where you start getting the craziness, the back and forth, the odd man rushes going back and forth, like all of that. I'm okay with a 10-minute, like in the regular season, I'm actually okay with a 10-minute overtime. Because I am also a person who's not as big on the shootout. I would rather see, you know, silly overtime than a shootout.
I mean, I'm on the fence because I do like shootouts. Not for shootout's sake. I love 3-on-3 overtime, but I kind of, like, think 60, if you can't get a result in 60 minutes of normal hockey, 3-on-3 overtime, if you can't get a result in that, it's just, like, time for another thing. And I think that makes it more interesting. But saying that, like, I'd be willing to try it and see what happened in 10-minute 3-on-3 overtime. Definitely wouldn't want it longer than that, but yeah. I quite like shootouts. I think they're skillful and fun.
I actually went and took a look at the scoreboard. So Winnipeg had won tonight, which means the Calgary Flames are in a must-win situation, still tied with the Nashville Predators as we record. And again, this is not a Jets or Flames podcast, But I do find it interesting that the Vancouver Canucks may have contributed to the Flames' downfall here.
Yeah, it's just a little bit funny. Like I said, that last episode, right? Like, not, I don't think it should be an aim. And it's not something I'm thinking about a great deal, but it is quite funny.
Yeah, and it's like, it is mean nothing hockey here. Like the really the only thing that the Vancouver Canucks can do at this point is maybe put LA into the position of a wild card, or help them get into the position of a wild card spot over, you know, top three, but Los Angeles is in. So, you know, this is the mean nothing hockey does exist from this week onward. Looking ahead at the week that will be. So again, they're down in LA right now. It's still 0-0. Last I checked, they're in, sorry, it's at San Jose. They're in Anaheim, tomorrow night. And then, they wind up in the Mullet Arena, to wrap up their season. Cheech's swan song. He's obviously off to other opportunities. It's still so weird how this has been portrayed, and like the language as to which he had used. I still think that maybe the decision wasn't entirely his.
It's very odd.
But it was nice to see Cheech get his due on the game on Saturday. You know, full crowd got up, gave him a standing ovation. I think, like, Larshide, obviously, you know, as color held that place, and Cheech did a really good job. But I don't think he was, you know, Larshide level. But I think fans appreciate him almost the same way as they appreciated Larshide, for different reasons.
And I do think it's to do with the whole team, right? Mm-hmm. Like, there just isn't the chemistry between him and Shorty and them playing off with their child, Dan Murphy. Like, it's great. Like, I think I tweeted this when it was announced, his retirement, but, like, the article in The Athletic that came out ranking the different broadcast teams, and I think Vancouver came second at the time. And it was just like, find you someone that loves you like Vancouver loves John and John and Murph. And it's so true. It's just like the affection that's there for the whole team. And I think that's kind of where Cheech's like status has been elevated is, yeah, his banter and relationship with Shorty.
Yeah. The I'm curious who they'll have with Shorty next season. Mm-hmm. 'Cause you think about like Vancouver, we went, I mean, Vancouver has been spoiled for as long as I've been around. Like, I don't know who came before Larshide, but like Jim Robson was there first. Larshide eventually joined, and I remember like Larshide doing both Canucks and BC Lions. Like, mm-hmm. he was involved in sports all which way in Vancouver. Jim Robson steps down. Jim Hewson slides in. I think Hewson brought a different sort of, like, Robson was the old school gravita, whereas Hewson was the more modern energy. And I still think that he and Larshide had a really good combination. Hewson then gets elevated to Hockey Night. CBC decides to snatch him up. And then Shorty slides in. And Shorty and Larshide, they worked well, but I, you know, you could always sort of tell, like, you know, Tommy got to sort of do what Tommy did, but then when Cheech got in, that's when John and Cheech, they really, like, these two casual guys just having fun, you know, like, how many times did we get to hear him talk about Kraft dinner and ketchup?
Yeah.
Right? Like, horrible game, but let me tell you the stories we could hear about the food on the road, and you're right, they're, you know, child Dan Murph chiming in.
Yeah. Totally.
Anyway, when we get back again next week, we'll get to tell you how this week wound up and where the Vancouver Canucks ultimately found themselves in the standings. We know the playoffs are done, but we ourselves going to take a short break. You're listening to the C4 Canucks Hockey Podcast, brought to you by the Full Press Coverage Network and CanucksHockeyBlog.com.
Take hitting out of the game. You can't hit anymore, so don't do it.
The unsportsmanlike conduct, I want to get an explanation on that.
No kidding.
Because how do you get suspended for unsportsmanlike conduct?
Plus interference. There's no interference there. He had the puck.
Now, Madison never ever did that before. Now, why did he do it? And that because he was mad.
Well, your early favorite for the Calder Trophy, that's for sure. Elias Pettersson, you might even say your early favorite for the Hart Trophy.
Just to get back to your question, Elias is going to play plenty. He's going to play. He's going to get a lot of power play time. And, yeah, I'm concerned about our offense. We lost 200-point players, and we've got to find a way to score.
Vancouver Canucks announced their awards the last home game of the season. And it sort of gave me pause to say we didn't actually talk about Canucks awards during our sort of awards episode. No. We talked about league awards, so maybe a miss on our part. But let's just sort of rattle through them. Cyclone Taylor, it's your MVP, went to Elias Pettersson.
I mean, who else?
Well, I there were some like, oh, it should have gone to JT Miller. But, I mean, by all metrics, you know, PD yeah. is it. Like, you know, if you go by the whoever gets the most points gets the league MVP award. Well, mm-hmm. guess who got the most points in Vancouver? Right? Like, yeah. you know.
But it's just literally by any metric.
It's PD.
Imagine apart from stopping pucks, it's PD.
Yeah. Best defenseman, Quinn Hughes. Like, there wasn't anyone else in the conversation here. Like, absolutely no one. Mm-hmm. And had Quinn Hughes missed half the season, I think he still gets it.
I agree.
Pavel Bure Award, the most exciting player. That's Andre Kuzmenko. And I honestly don't know of anyone else who probably gets it based on Kuzmenko's play through the season and what we saw from him on the ice.
Yeah, I would have voted for him. I didn't. For obvious pride related reasons. I just like, to me, exciting just pairs so well with fan favorite. And which, that's what he's been in.
Which like, he also was, right? Yeah. To a point.
But yeah, just personally, I couldn't do it. But yeah, it's hard to make if you're going with everyone gets one award.
Well, yeah, because to me, if it's not him, it would be Petey.
Yeah. And if it's not Petey, it would be Quinn. Like, mm-hmm. and then I think JT is the only other name in the conversation, but it's so in flashes that it's hard to really suggest it's him.
Yeah. Leading scorer, that's Petey. And three stars, also Petey. This is no votes there. Well, yeah. Let me rephrase. There might have been votes for the three stars award up in the press box, but. You know, Petey got both there. Unsung hero, Dakota Joshua. I don't have a problem with Joshua getting this, but I kind of like, for me, I'm more of an Ethan Bear stan here.
Okay. I mean, like, I could see arguments for both. I would still suggest that it's Joshua just because, I mean, he's been here. So the start, like,
no, and I, yeah, like I just,
and the expectations was, but not that the expectations were high with Bear. He couldn't get onto his Carolina team, but like, yeah, I think it's kind of interesting. I was listening to, our good friends at Canucks Conversation, and they seem to suggest that the problem with that award is that no one's done that. And I think that heroic, I think the problem with that award in Vancouver is the word unsung.
Well,
it's just not the kind of market you can be unsung in.
Unsung hero awards. I actually am I'm a firm believer that when you have an award that is titled unsung, it should never go to someone who receives accolades. Like I have been, I work for employers who award unsung hero awards, and it's often going to top performers. And now, if you're a top performer and you get this, my thought is that one, that's recognition of everything that you do, but you're not actually being recognized any other way. But when the person who receives the Unsung Hero Award is also receiving the award for like the most sales, top commissions, the most this, you're singing quite loudly. If they're referenced as that, this is the person you should be. That's not unsung. That's sung hero, which again, recognize them. Like if Petey got this award, how is he unsung?
Yeah,
but that's like, not a knock against Petey.
No, but to me, it's just like because Vancouver's such an active market, everyone's been talking about Dakota Joshua. Like, maybe the expectations were not high, but it's not like he hasn't been noticed because it's just like that's just the market it is.
Yeah.
Like,
but yeah, yeah, and I'm not disagreeing with it. It's just, I have, my issue is with the word, like in this award, even in a heroic season.
Yeah.
I think the unsung often doesn't go to the person who doesn't get the accolades.
Yeah. And there's an argument for Bear, especially like, how he's, you could say he's been heroic in the way he's, you know, continued to talk about indigenous issues and the way he spoke at, regarding Pride. So,
yeah. Community leadership, the Danny and Hank Award, it went to Brock Besser, and I kind of feel surprised. I'm not knocking Brock here. It's not that I'm surprised that Brock would be deserving of this award or would actually get it. It's that I was surprised as to how involved Brock has been with the community side of the organization, despite the challenges that he himself has had to sort of go through and fight through over the last couple of seasons. And that was like, wow, like, you know, I like that. To me, that's the type of player you want to build around. I think Brock has the opportunity.
And I will say, I have noticed, especially this season, how like he's the go-to of like, someone wants to like meet a Canucks player and he comes out and does it. Mm-hmm. Like all those little videos and stuff. Well, and he's like the first to volunteer for like,
and that's,
he's often in the like,
when I heard this, I'm like, charity stuff. Then I started to recall, like, yeah, it's been Brock. Like,
yeah.
And it, you know, it wasn't necessarily Bo, though he, when he was here, he did get come out. Not so much Petey. I could not tell you it's ever been JT.
He just doesn't. Yeah. Petey's lovely, but he doesn't really have the charisma.
Yeah. I mean,
to do that sort of fan facing stuff.
And so, you know, like just on Canucks.com here, it talks about how, you know, Brock has always been out with donations, purchasing tickets for kids through Besser's Beauties program. He contributes $1,000 for every goal he scores to the Parkinson's Society of BC and Parkinson's Foundation of Minnesota, in honor of his late father, Duke. He, to your point, he, even when injured, he was often there meeting people, connecting with them, going to Canucks for kids events, Canucks House. Like, it just, you know what? I will be sad to see someone win the community leadership award like this, not come back next season.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to think that, like, he should be wearing Renee right now. Like,
he should. Well, he wasn't in the season ticket holder letter, so.
No.
And that's just a whole podcast episode.
Yeah.
I mentioned his name, but former Vancouver Canuck, Bo Horvat, he was asked about, you know, the fan response in New York, Brooklyn, and had been asked just a pretty straightforward question. What do you think about the fans and the atmosphere in this playoff push? It wasn't leading. It was just simply a, hey, you know, we got you in the post game. What are your thoughts? And the answer that I would have always expected from Bo Horvat would have been, yeah, wow, the energy here is great. Like, this is awesome. The fans are the best, like boom, boom, boom. But what does he do? He goes, oh, this is wonderful. This is awesome. And, you know, I can tell you, I never had anything like this in Vancouver or anywhere in my career. And I'll give you that for free. Which, so that part, I'll give you that for free, loads everything prior to it, right? Like, I'll give you that one for free. Well, apparently Bo Horvat has, you know, gotten himself not to Mark Messier status, but let's just say that he and Mark could probably, you know, meet up for coffee in Vancouver and be entirely unsure who the dirty looks are actually being directed to.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to just go off here.
Go off.
Okay.
Let the dark side flow through you.
What? Like, when I saw, like, the quote, I didn't even watch the video, I just saw the quote come out, I was just like, oh, here we go, and just kind of moved on. Like, I was like, oh, I don't want to watch that. I think it was the response afterwards that got me annoyed. Specifically, people going around telling Canucks fans not to be annoyed.
Yeah, you're so soft.
Like, either that they're soft or Bo Horvat had every right to say what he said, considering how he was treated. Like, sure, but like, if you want a passionate fan base, which is what like this team has been like crying out for in a way, but like, that's what they're gonna do. If their ex-captain like trash talks their team, they're gonna be upset. And I think you have every right to be upset. You don't have to. It's not a huge deal. It's not, you know, war or death or famine. It's just like, he gets, like, Canucks fans gets annoyed at him. Maybe they throw a couple back and forth, and that's fun. Like, that's why sports is fun. It's no fun if you don't care about it. Like, if you're just like, oh, like, Bo should have, like, of course he said that. Like, people shouldn't be mad. Like, don't people tell people not to be mad.
We were talking before we hit record. I had no clue any of this was going on. So on Saturday night, I went to the Whitecaps match, took Baby Force. We enjoyed ourselves there. And I had no clue leading up to the Canucks game what had been said. And just as I'm leaving the stadium, I noticed a friend of the show, Jay, comment like, oh, I love that Bo Horvat's, you know, turned into a heel or something like that, or took a heel turn. Mm-hmm. Like, and I'm like, oh, was he gooning it up? Like my thought was like, did, you know, Bo snap on the ice or something like that, or, you know, channel the dark arts. Cause I would have never expected him to go in and say something to that effect. Cause that was never Bo when he was here in Vancouver. No, right.
He just like,
it was like,
that's why he became captain. He's like level headed. He doesn't know what intonation is.
Yeah. It was just like, you know, real, you know, plain stuff here.
Steady as you go.
Exactly. Yeah. So to the fact that he says this, my response was, dead to me, Bo. How could you do that to me, Bo? Like, to me, it's like, okay, good. Like, because I'm thinking like this, well, that sucks that he feels that way. And oh, well.
Yeah.
You know, there goes your opportunity to be like Trevor Linden, where Linden knew when to retire when he started finding out that there were many kids in Vancouver being named after him because of how long he had been playing. That's never going to happen with Bo in Vancouver, even if Bo makes a return.
I was going to say, it might be too late. There might be some kids already.
Yeah, true. But like, but the point being is that, you know, if you were talking about rivalries earlier, this is a good way to establish one, yeah. Right? Like there's a lot of energy. I'm all for it. I love the colorful nature of the banter.
Yeah. And when he took it back today or said, like, apologize for offending him.
Well, that's typical, like, Bo, though. That's the Bo we've come to expect.
Totally. But it was just like, oh, I thought we were going to have some fun. Like,
well, so it's too late, though. Bo can walk it back. But if there's one thing I know about Canucks fans, we're really good at holding grudges.
Yeah, they remember.
Like that, and it'll never go away. What's interesting though about this, and so you had all these different perspectives. You had some like, oh my God, Bo, you're dead to me. Others are like, oh, Canucks fans are soft. Some are like, Bo's right. The Raj is a, you know, mausoleum at best. You know what? I've been to games in Vancouver where, yeah, the energy sucks. I went to a playoff game during the 2011 run. And the building, honest to goodness, felt worse than a regular season game against like the who knows what in like November. That happens. Does it happen every other building? I don't know. I don't go to many. But I can say that sometimes the energy just isn't there. And there's a variety of reasons as to why it's not. But what does that matter? Right? I don't like you talking smack about me. And I'm going to, just because you're right, doesn't make me forgive you. Yeah. Right? Like,
totally.
But at the end of the day, if you don't feel the same way as I do, do I really care?
Yeah. I'm not going to forget every good thing Bo Horvat ever did because he made one comment. But like, yeah, I don't know. It's fun to be upset. Like, and how, people that were just like, I don't know, remember during 2011 when literally Predator Ridge changed their name because during this series, Boston Pizza was Vancouver Pizza. Yeah, like, that's the dumbest thing ever, but so funny.
Oh, like, yeah.
Sports is at its best when it's ridiculous and knows it's ridiculous. So if a strip club wants to put up a sign saying F. Bo Horvat, that's fine.
Well, the at, like, and the pound sign, number sign, hashtag, that was, they were, but yeah, Penthouse, go for them. You know, they don't sponsor us, and I can't say I've ever been, but their sign is game is often.
I've not been to that one.
That one. Have you been to the one further down the street?
No, I've been.
I'm not trying to out you. Sorry. I just.
Also, yeah, mom, stop listening, maybe. But I've been to some interesting establishments in Vancouver.
Yes, there's a couple. But the point being is, one, their side game is pretty good, like top notch. Yeah. Have fun, take a dig. But really, what it comes down to is that what does it really matter? Because how many times would he have been asked that question in Vancouver and been able to even answer it?
Also, you just lie. Like, how many, the amount of times he said how great it is, like, playing in Vancouver. Yeah, I just don't.
Pump our tires. We like hearing it.
Yeah. When people said, this is not like a subtweet at anyone, because lots of
subtweet.
But yeah, like, when people are saying, oh, you can't be mad because when you, like, want Rogers Arena to be louder than mad at Bo, of course you can. Because, like, the people that want Rogers to be louder, like, the people that are loud. Like, they go to Rogers and they're loud, and then their captain's saying, oh, yeah, I didn't even notice. Yeah. Like, when he said that he never noticed, like, he'd never had his name chanted before, I was like, okay.
Well, no.
What the hell were the Last Shiners doing for 3 years? I don't know.
Yeah, and I, you know, the thing that, you know, sort of came out from this, too, is, like, Saravelli had said this in Canuck Central, how he doesn't for 1 second think that Bo was trying to take a shot at Vancouver fans.
Yeah.
That he was actually trying to take a shot at Vancouver as the organization. And it has been said many times, a tender spot in the upper echelons of the organization is the perception of the total experience.
Yeah, which is, yeah, so true. I don't know if I agree with Frank there. That seems to put too much calculation on Bo's part. I think he was just,
I don't know, maybe,
answering a question.
Maybe Bo Horvat, without a C on his chest, has been freed from the confines of checkers and can now play, you know, five-dimensional chess.
Yeah, maybe. I think he just made a flippant comment, but maybe that's just me.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, at the end of the day, if you think that, yeah, Bo Horvat, you know, should be at the, you know, same level as Mark Messier, great. If you think Bo Horvat is telling the truth, great. If you think that people shouldn't be mad at Bo Horvat, okay, sure, you can feel and think that way, but why does that matter in the first place? And if you think that people, you know, should be outraged and are not, what does it matter? If you're outraged, great, embrace the outrage, embrace the hate.
That sums it up perfectly, because honestly, I was not mad at all when I saw the initial thing. I was like, ugh. Just, like, really didn't move me a ton either way. But it did, I will say, it did push my buttons when people started policing what reaction you were supposed to have from it.
Well, and this is in part of a bigger conversation, not one that we could really get into in this particular episode. But there is a level of gatekeeping that happens in many different fan bases, but the one that I know well enough in Vancouver, it happens far too frequently where you are told that you should not do this and you should do that. I am guilty of it myself. There are times when I have said something and I don't mean to gatekeep, but that doesn't mean I don't. So at the end of the day, what matters is how you interpret the events and the words that come out of Bo's mouth. And all I hope for is that he is given his due, gets a proper, you know, cheer when his highlight, you know, video gets up and everyone gives him a standing ovation. And if people want to boo him relentlessly every time he touches the puck, have at it, because there's atmosphere there. You're creating energy. You're like that. That's what the barn needs more of all of the time.
I was saying, Bo.
Yeah. Bo, not boo. I mean, it's like Lou or Boo. You never know. I mean, did I ever share this story with you that a friend of mine, big BC Lions fan, watched the Lions religiously, never really got into hockey, and asked me once, like, is Louis Pasaglia that important of a person in Vancouver that even Canucks fans like look to recognize him? And
I mean, in a way, it started with Lou the Kicker.
Yeah. And in fairness, I'll bet you the Lou was what we heard in Vancouver, not the first time it was even used for in that reference. It's just that's when it sort of took hold in, with my generation, at least. And there's probably many Lous out there that have heard Lou.
Yeah, I remember, like, Arsenal used to have a player when I was younger called Batista. Is that his name? Batista? Anyway, his nickname was Beast.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's never been used before.
Yeah, very original. Whenever he came on, whenever he touched the ball, whatever, fans would chant, Beast. And, yeah, to the uninitiated, everyone wondered why he was getting booed all the time.
Yeah. Well, he's getting beasted. That's what he was getting.
Mm-hmm.
Anywho, here we are at the end of a show. Let's see, what's the score in the Canucks game? Look, the Kings are up 1-0. That's pretty cool. What's going on in
they're in a shootout
in Calgary, in Flamesland. Uh-huh.
I feel like I'm just like, we have to stay until the end of that game. Like, all our listeners don't already know what happened.
Well, you and I don't, yeah. Right? I mean, so you're right. I mean, we do have to stay and find out. Calgary did get a goal from Huberto in the shootout. Tomasino was stopped, but then Nazem Kadri had been stopped. So, I mean, technically speaking, Calgary is in the driver's seat right now. We will revisit this before the end of the episode because it's going to take us that long to get through it. But we are obviously looking to talk books in C4 Discord conversation. I really sort of struck up, but we do want to talk to you about the fact that the Calgary Flames could potentially get the 2 points here because Evangelista was stopped and Richie was stopped. But Fighter, we were talking about Fighter, and you can join in the conversation in C4 Discord in the book club channel. You can also support the show by going to support.c4podcast.com. Support.c4podcast.com takes you over to Buy Me a Coffee, or as you and I prefer to call it,
Buy Me a Pint.
And you can support us either as a one-time offering where you can truly help us buy us a pint. Alternatively, you can sign up on a recurring basis, either on a monthly basis or if you were to commit to us for a full year. Ultimately, get yourself a little bit of a savings in that regard. All of the money that you do send our way allows us to sort of put back into the podcast. And lo and behold, Nashville scores Cody Glass, so we are going to sudden death shootout time.
Gerald Sutter is mad. He's just like,
is he getting like
Toffoli, no shootout goal for you.
Yeah.
You stay where you are.
But yeah, every penny, every dollar you use to support us allows us to cover the cost of the show, which unfortunately have been going up at a rate higher and faster than you, our listeners, have been able to support us. Also, we continue to say this. All of the ads you hear about the show, we get nada from. Like, I actually listened to the last episode and all the ads at the start. There were, I want to say, 3 of them. They get through 3 ads. McDonald's.
So, yeah, please feel free to
gives skip. Us nothing. Skip the dishes, not a thing.
Also, nothing. Skip the dishes.
Which, if they want to sponsor us, I'm easily bought, Anna. If McDonald's wants me to pimp out McFlurries, this is the podcast.
I also love the coffee slushy thing they do.
Mm.
And if you sponsor us, I'll learn the name of it.
You'll learn the name. Oh, Nashville won. Ooh. Oh, that means the Flames are done, I think. Like, let me look at the standings here. Do they reflect this loss? Okay, 80 games in.
Yeah, I think that.
93-90. Okay, well, because of that 1 point that Calgary gets, the loser point, it's not technically over. But now, like, Calgary has to win out. And
it's OVA, there's no H yet.
Yeah. Winnipeg's in, like, I think Winnipeg. Yeah, if Winnipeg gets a point, because a point would be enough, because the regulation wins, Winnipeg's got, like, Calgary can't catch up.
Oh, yeah, because they're all loser points, Calgary. They have so many loser points.
Anywho.
Also, I predicted that Winnipeg would be the second team to make it on Game Over, so if they could do that and make me look better, that'd be great.
Who does Winnipeg play? Winnipeg wraps up the season against Minnesota and Colorado on the road. So, not the easiest competition. Meanwhile, the Calgary Flames, who do they have to take on to wrap up their season? Calgary is playing at home. Oh, wait. No.
The Sharks.
No, that's it. Because that point must not be.
Oh, yeah, because they've only got one game left.
So. Yeah, so that's San Jose. San Jose got this. So that's done. Calgary's done. Peace be with them.
And we did that. Like, we were part of that.
I mean, I guess unless they haven't added the point. But, like, the NHL standings page is weird because it does show, oh, no, they got a loser point against us. So it didn't actually include that point. So, no, that point was.
No, that's it.
They're done. No, they're tied. Yeah, right. Okay, yeah, peace be with Calgary. We'll see you on the golf course.
Okay.
Who's booking the tee time? Right. I'm not sure. Maybe us.
That's what we have to know.
Yeah.
Just so we're clear, Calgary's done. I was right. And Canucks were party poopers.
Yeah. Anywho, we will be back next week. Next week and the week after and then beyond that, we'll be at our off-season schedule. I think we mentioned that last episode, but just in case you didn't get to that point.
Is that correct?
I don't know.
I think we're back next week then.
Not the week after?
2 weeks off.
Okay. Well, yeah. We are back next week for certain.
But we are back next week for sure.
That's clear. Any final words of wisdom there, Anna?
I don't know. Just screwing over other teams is fun.
Yeah. Well, that happened. There's no further screwing over of any other teams at this point, because Vancouver is not in the position to really have much of an impact in that regard. But for me, final words, if you made this point and you're curious what we're going to do in the offseason, haven't a clue. But if there's someone you think we should reach out to and connect with and have them on our show to talk hockey, as always, let us know. You can let us know in discord.io/C4podcast, on Twitter @TheC4Podcast. We'd love to hear from you. Love to get the ideas. Most of the guests that we have had on our show over the last year and a bit are because you've said, hey, let's make this happen. And, you know, we're pretty simple podcasters. If our listeners want something, we really want to provide them more of it. But on behalf of Anna, A4Site03, myself, Chris, at LightForce, I'm signing off this episode of the C4 Canucks Hockey Podcast, brought to you by the Full Press Coverage Network and CanucksHockeyBlog.com with We Out.